Hello, I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Scott Soschnick. Every week at this time, plus Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, we explore the big money issues in the world of sports.
Today, we speak... Oh my goodness, I can't even believe it.
You're very excited.
Yes, I am.
Former Medina is very excited.
Pro boxer Oscar De La Hoya, the golden boy. But first, let's look at the top stories of the week. Joining us is Bloomberg Business of Sports reporter Eben Novy Williams. And let's start, again, this ad from Nike has been in the news for many days now. Well, let's just say at least more than a week. The Colin Kaepernick ad, and there's more news involved.
Well, it's funny. I sent a note over to NBC as soon as this all started, and I said, hey, by any chance, is Nike buying any ad time on the first broadcast of the season? And NBC said, we don't discuss the plans of our advertisers. You'll have to go to Nike and ask them.
We don't discuss business.
We don't do business. Yeah, exactly. We're not going to discuss this. But I think we're at the point, Eben. What do you think? Who hasn't seen? I'm not sure they have to. I mean, maybe one again. But I'm not sure they need to advertise by commercial with this ad because, boy, just the social of it all, it's made its way around the world.
Yeah, I don't think the airing it is to reach, you know, new eyes as much as it is to, you know, make it clear that, you know, this is something that they're fully behind, you know, that this is doubling down in some ways, right? They're making it clear that
During an NFL broadcast
in the arena where, you know, where this is most controversial, they're making it clear that Colin is a principal part of this 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign.
Can we go subjective, Barr? What'd you think of the ad?
I think it's a powerful ad. And what you just said earlier, you know the ad is successful. Now, again, I'm not getting into the politics of it, but you know the ad is successful when people are looking for it on social media.
Yeah. They sought it out.
You don't have to look for it on TV.
As soon as Colin put it out, I can just see, like, you can see the tentacles grow around the world. People wanting to see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the NFL, Le'Veon Bell, people playing fantasy are like, oh my God, what just happened? People had Le'Veon Bell ranked in fantasy either 2 or 3 in the first round. And all of a sudden, this thing has blown up into one fell swoop of negotiations, and he's not coming back.
Yeah, and this week we've seen his teammates are now talking trash about him. Marquise Pouncey said, just man up and tell us what you're going to do. Ramon Foster criticizing how much money he's getting.
This just sounds idiotic.
It's insane.
Just man up. Listen, everybody knows in the NFL, especially as a running back, dude, do what you need to do to get paid. Because you get beat up, your careers are shorter than anybody else. Take care of yourself. If this is what you need to do to get paid in the NFL, every man in that locker room should understand that.
Le'Veon Bell has been one of the best running backs in the league for a couple years now. 400 touches or so last year. As Scott said, this is a position that is probably the shortest career time.
Shortest shelf life in the league.
And by virtue of the rookie contract and the franchise tag, he's never been able to negotiate his own contract. And that's what he wants to do here. And it's amazing to see other players who should be supporting that publicly bashing him. And I'd imagine, Scott, if you're a negotiator for the league in terms of the next collective bargaining agreement, this is something you're licking your lips about, right? These are players carrying the owner's water.
But now I got to play devil's advocate. First of all, he is throwing away over $850,000 per game. Two, and this is probably the most important part, for this last year, he really couldn't negotiate a contract. So are we doing it for saving the wear and tear on the body?
Yeah.
And trying to do something on the back end?
Both.
He wants a guaranteed contract that's more than a year long.
He wants guaranteed dollars. That's what every NFL player wants. It's about the guarantee. All those numbers you see in the NFL when you see these contracts, oh, he signed an $85 million deal. Probably 30 if it's guaranteed.
Right.
You know, very few players, those with the big leverage, hello, Aaron Rodgers, those are the kind of guys who can get almost all guaranteed, get huge. But go stack up these NFL contracts against the others. I mean, they must look at basketball players and baseball players and be like, oh, I should have played that sport.
Yeah. Another story. And, Eben, this is your story about State Farm.
Yeah, in the past week, kind of unprecedented in the naming rights world, State Farm has put its name on an NBA arena where the Atlanta Hawks play and an NFL stadium where the Arizona Cardinals play. It's a commitment of,
well,
you
let
know,
me see if they did a good job before. What was the NBA arena was called?
That I don't know.
Phillips Arena.
Phillips Arena, sure.
Okay, and then
because
there was some
Phoenix Stadium.
All right, University
of
I'm like, boy,
the
if they've had
one.
Super Bowls there and you didn't know, they've done a terrible job. Of activating that deal.
Yeah, so I asked the folks at State Farm kind of why they were doing this. They've been one of the biggest sponsors and advertisers in sports for a long time now, but never done spends like this. And what they said is that with the changing media marketplace, you know, with people cutting the cord on cable, they're less reliant on the TV, print, radio advertising as they have been in the past. And a stadium, putting your name, State Farm Arena, State Farm Stadium, is a more permanent and possibly even more reliable way to invest your dollars right now.
Well, like a good neighbor, Evan is there.
Woo.
Okay.
Well, do we get, play the bar awful music? Oh, you know, whatever, bad idea bar music. cue the bad idea bar music.
Okay. Anyway, moving right along. Thank you, guys. Those were some of the topics for today's show. Guess what?
I've been sticking around.
That's right. You're sticking around. I'm sticking around because we have our interview now with Oscar De La Hoya.
Mr. Barr, where do I begin with Oscar De La Hoya? Former pro boxer, of course. Long history dating back to 92. Made his pro debut. First round TKO. Don't see that a lot. He's held many titles. Welterweight, light welterweight belts from 92 to 2008. He's in the U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame. Most importantly, though, he is a successful promoter with his company, Golden Boy Promotions.
Wow. This is a very cool honor. Yes, that's right. I'm drooling all over the microphone because we have Oscar De La Hoya here.
Ick.
One of the best.
An image nobody. Man. Your picture is on the homepage to the thing. People know what you look like. Nobody wants to picture you drooling.
We've got company.
Yeah, so they're supposed to be on your best behavior when company comes over.
Oscar De La Hoya, one of the best boxers to ever step in the ring. Thank you so much for joining us.
What a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I guess I'd start with the obvious question about the state of boxing. Where is it today?
Alive and well. Very healthy. In terms of, if you take a look at the numbers, ratings, pay-per-view numbers, the monies that it's generating, I would say that it's better than ever. There's more boxing on TV than there ever was, whether it's on Fox or whether it's on NBC. Now that we partnered up with Facebook Watch, we're being viewed by millions and millions across the globe, which is a great opportunity for the sport. The sport right now is very healthy. Some might say differently. UFC, maybe.
Is there room for both?
I mean, absolutely.
You don't have to pick. Is there room for
both? No, there's room for both. I strongly feel that, the biggest generating pay-per-view events in combative sports have taken place in boxing. That's including the Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather fight. There's a reason why Conor McGregor made as much money as he did inside the boxing ring, not the octagon. So boxing is in a state where it's healthier than ever, and obviously, September 15th is the Super Bowl of our sport with Canelo and Triple G. So, really looking forward to that.
Tell us more about that, fight that's coming up.
It's obviously the rematch. First time around generated some big numbers on pay-per-view. We expect that number to double.
Give us the numbers. What are we talking here?
I'm expecting about 2 million homes on pay-per-view. I strongly feel that the fact that you have two fighters in their prime, the fact that you have two fighters who are young, who are willing to duke it out inside the in the middle of the ring, The fact that they're not scared to get knocked out, it calls for a great fight. Look, the consumer knows what they want. The consumer wants to watch a great fight, and that's exactly what we're delivering, and that's the reason why we can generate so many big numbers.
Are general sports fans finding it, or are these hardcore boxing fans? I'm not sure how many general sports fans know these names.
There is a certain percentage of fans that are finding the fight. Most of them, yes, are hardcore targeted fans that have watched boxing over and over again. But we calculate that there's roughly 6 to 7 million hardcore fans in the sport of boxing. It's just a matter of penetrating them and reaching them, and we strongly feel that we can capture that audience. And I'm not too sure how I guess strongly we're crossing over to the casual fan, but it's tracking in the right direction. I'm saying 2 million, very conservative.
We're speaking with Oscar De La Hoya, whose Golden Boy Promotions represents Canelo Alvarez in next weekend's mega fight with Triple G. It's Gennady Golovkin versus Canelo Alvarez 2.
Right.
The first one was a draw. You had a horse in the fight, so obviously it maybe not the result you wanted. But how good is a draw for drumming up support and
as
interest?
As a promoter, that is the result you want.
Interest in the second fight.
Exactly. No, I mean, I obviously wasn't expecting a draw. I was expecting obviously somebody to get the win, but look, a draw was fair the first time around. It was a great competitive fight. Both guys, they came out swinging, and it was probably one of the best fights in recent years that a boxing fan can watch. I strongly feel that the second time around will be a continuation of the first one. I mean, we're going to watch round 13 on September 15th, and the fact that for the first time Canelo Alvarez is talking knockout, he's telling Golovkin, look, I'm going to knock you out for all the bad-mouthing you've done over the course of time, and I strongly feel we're going to see one of the best fights in recent years.
How much of that is real in the pre-fight hype? I always wondered about guys wanting to fight before they're supposed to fight.
Right.
That never made sense to me.
Yeah, no. Canelo and Golovkin, there's this animosity towards each other that is real. Both guys are nice guys. They're really, really nice guys. The nicest guys in the sport. But I mean, I have to mention this and be real, is that when Canelo tested positive for clenbuterol in his system, Gennady Golovkin he attacked his persona, he attacked his character, and Canelo didn't like it, and and for the first time ever, Canelo's talking knockout. I've never heard Canelo say, "I want to knock you out." And he really means it. So it calls for a great fight. It calls for one of those fights that you don't want to miss.
You talk about a pay-per-view event. That's how we think of boxing, the big events, pay-per-view.
Right.
But the world is different these days. We've got Perform and DAZN investing in boxing, OTT. You said there are about 6 to 8 million hardcore boxing fans. You pony up 10, 12 bucks a month for that kind of content. That's real money. What are the opportunities? You're on the promotion side mm-hmm. now. What are the opportunities in the new world order of media?
There's a tremendous opportunity now that DAZN is getting involved or trying to penetrate the U.S. market with Ring TV that we control. We're starting to see our numbers spike drastically.
What's been the growth of? What can you give me the growth chart? Where you were? How far along ago? And where?
Well, let's say our first ever digital pay-per-view that we promoted. We probably sold at a price of maybe $89. probably sold about 30,000 pay-per-views online, and the growth has been incredible. We're last fight we sold roughly 200,000 homes, so it's trending in the right direction. It's fairly new. People are obviously these days not wanting to be told what to watch, when to watch, and where to watch. You know, and but there's something
but in sports that's exactly what happens, because it's live. Nobody wants to know about the fight.
Live sports content is king. We all know that. And there's something about the pay-per-view model that people still want to watch it on their TV. They want to watch it amongst friends and family and have a big old party. That's the reason why we can still sell north of 2 million pay-per-view homes.
If you were promoting the Super Bowl, if you're the NFL, would you put the Super Bowl on pay-per-view, or are you happy on the free over the air?
No, I mean, there's a big advantage of having such a big event on live free TV, network television. But obviously the advantage that NFL has is that, you know, the network televisions are paying millions or billions of dollars for the rights to televise their events.
Are these conversations that are new for promoters? I mean, you're now wading into this idea of selling pay-per-view yourself, or for Matchroom, making a deal, $1 billion partnership with DAZN. 10 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, I would have assumed that the decision on what to do from a media standpoint was a lot easier or simpler for boxing promoters. Now, how much more of your time is being taken up on how do we deliver this? How do we get this
right
to the most amount of fans while also optimizing the dollars?
No, exactly. And we're obviously in talks with various outlets that will take us to the forefront. I strongly feel that, look, everything is moving. Everything is changing. But we still must continue with that pay-per-view model, watching it on television. I strongly feel that we can generate a substantial amount of monies online and OTT and over the top. But there's something about the consumer that wants to watch it again with their families, amongst their friends, amongst people. It's nice to watch it on your tablet, on your phone, on the computer. But there's nothing like watching a sporting event on television.
So in terms of big pay-per-view draw, so let's say, you know, a million and a half in a fight. These two fighters, Triple G and Canelo, obviously are at that level. How many other boxers are out there right now that are big enough names to draw a big pay-per-view audience like that?
The only fighter is Canelo, and Canelo needs Golovkin, and Golovkin needs Canelo. There's only a handful of fighters out there. For instance, like Mayweather, if he fights once again, he'll generate those big numbers. If a Conor McGregor decides to fight Canelo, for instance, you'll generate 3, 4, 5 million homes on pay-per-view. The pay-per-view model is I believe not going anywhere. I strongly feel, like I said, I mean, people love watching those fights on TV.
But back when you were fighting, it felt like there was more, right? It felt like there were more big names out there that could draw a pay-per-view number like that. And now it sounds like you're saying there's one or two.
No, exactly. And you know, it's almost a breath of fresh air when you hear about these great deals that Top Rank is orchestrating with ESPN, or Eddie Hearn with DAZN. Like I said, Golden Boy Promotions is in the works of working on such big deals.
Can you create a star in boxing, or does that person just have to go out? If you don't win, you don't become a star. What's the balance there?
Well, the business is funny, because the only way you can create a pay-per-view star, and this model has been proven over and over and over again, is by piggybacking off the current pay-per-view star. That's the only way you can create a star. And I mean, because to tell people to tell people you have to fork over $79, $89 on HD TV to watch a fight is not easy.
We make Barb buy it and we go to his place.
There you go. I'll pitch in $5.
I'll get
the sad
beer.
Thing is, he's going to ask me for it before you leave.
But boxing is changing. The sport is changing for the better. Like I said, we're watching more boxing on TV. We're developing more champions, but. I still have to bank on the pay-per-view model in order to create those megastars.
We're talking with Oscar De La Hoya, who was nicknamed the Golden Boy of boxing. This went back to the 1992 Olympics. There's a story about that.
Well, when there's a story from like 25, 30 years ago, we go to right. This when we
old
turn the
man
microphone on.
Through, you can see the
there's
looks
a story.
Of exasperation.
Don't start
on
drooling
her face.
Now.
Yeah. My mom, God bless her. She used to watch TV, which was old reruns of Gunsmoke. That was about it. So now the Summer Olympics are on, and she sees you on TV, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, baby, stick and move, stick and move. I'm like, Mom, calm down here, man. So my point to this whole story is that the Olympics, that was a great venue to see up-and-coming boxers at the time. Mm-hmm. Is that another way we can show off brand new talent in the Olympics like that?
Well, I strongly feel that's the only platform where a star is going to be born, especially in boxing, a pay-per-view star, a household name. Boxing has changed in the amateur system for the worse, I have to say. And I'm glad that the AIBA, International Boxing Organization, if I may say, is working on changing its rules and regulations to make boxing more transparent. Because our judging is not where it should be.
Anyway, you brought up judging. Evan went back and looked at the scorecard of that first Triple G.
Right, and it was terrible.
Two were close, and one was
it was terrible.
But does that turn fans off? Like, how does
absolutely.
That happen?
Absolutely. I have no idea how that happens. Look, a lot of people obviously blame me, the promoter. I mean, you always blame
of
the promoter.
Of course, blame you. Your name's
and
on
like,
it.
I'm like, I didn't do anything. I didn't, you know. But I mean, there's a reason why they banned her for a year. I think it was Adelaide Bird who they banned for a year from judging. You know, it shouldn't happen. But then again, whenever you have a sport that requires judging by a human,
don't in figure skating, don't they throw out the high and the low? Just in case, maybe,
right?
You know, maybe
exactly.
We look at that in boxing.
Maybe we should do that.
Go.
Exactly. Yeah. There's. I mean, look, boxing has a lot of room for growth, but that's where the opportunity is. Right now, in the last year alone, more than $5-6 billion has been injected into combat sports, including boxing. So there's opportunities, including with the judging, including with refereeing. So I think we're living some good times in boxing, and I'm excited.
Oscar De La Hoya, founder of Golden Boy Promotions, thank you so much, sir, for coming in and joining us. You made my day.
My man. Can I? Wait, I have a napkin. You have a little jewel right there. Hold on.
Oscar, thank you.
Thank you.
Sir.
Appreciate it.
Takeaways, Oscar De La Hoya says that boxing is strong, like it was back in the day of Muhammad Ali.
Hey, come on. I mean, boxing's as strong the day when there's cigar smoke filling up the felt form. Thank you. I'll bring up a reference
in
to the felt
spittoon.
Form. In the spittoon.
The what?
I don't, exactly. I don't think boxing is now where it was. It's a different media landscape, so there's opportunity for boxing. But it's not like, hey, everybody's watching boxing.
Yeah, boxing is, as Oscar just said, dealing with the same big questions that the NFL and the NBA is. It's long been a totally different media model, pay-per-view, Showtime, HBO, but that's shifting now. You know, we talked about DAZN, we talked about ESPN and ESPN Plus, which carries a lot of boxing now. Those are conversations that Oscar's now having. He's meeting with the likes of Amazon and Facebook, just like Adam Silver is and just like Roger Goodell is.
The world is different. It used to be you have to aggregate a lot of eyeballs, you know, the big mass product. That's not the way it is anymore. Now, with all the OTT, it's all right, are there 50,000 people that want to see this? Okay, charge them $10 a month. If they really like it, they're hardcore fans, that's real money. You get enough of those, and whether it's archery or boxing or MMA or whatever, you get enough of those little OTT channels, and you've got real business.
Back in the day, they used to call it closed circuit.
Closed circuit TV. Right.
And you used to go pay for that, so why should this be any different?
Yeah.
My goal is to be the number one pick. That's something I've been dreaming of since a kid.
It feels better to be number one than number five.
I wear the number because of Mike.
We have a chance to go for three in a row.
Good numbers at a good time.
When I first started wearing that number, I was just happy and proud.
Bloomberg Business of Sports, the number of the week.
Number of the week. Oh, my goodness. This is so easy.
And I know this one.
You do know this one. It's 48. Now, the people out there are like, 48? Number of what athlete so-and-so at...
Well, they never... By seeing my picture on our webpage, there's no way they're thinking I'm in my upper 40s, so they're not thinking, holy wow.
Your Twitter photo, you look two.
Well, that's my son. That's not even me. That's my son. Also a participant in the show. Yes.
Happy birthday to Scott Soschnick.
At Soschnick.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, this is like my Marilyn Monroe moment.
Happy birthday.
Except it's a nightmare.
That's scary.
It's a nightmare.
Happy birthday.
Michael's standing
Mr.
over
co-host.
Happy birthday.
Again, Evan has no idea what we're talking about. You know what we're talking
Evan,
about?
Evan, how do you not know any of these references? I'm just blown away.
Wait, by the way.
I am very aware of who Marilyn Monroe is.
So he doesn't know.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
No,
okay,
I am very aware.
But if we may, let's end it on this. Medina, you actually have a great voice. So
you're not.
Medina, sing us out. Medina,
requesting a happy birthday.
You sing all the time. Sing us out, Medina.
But I'm not singing.
Sing us out, Medina.
No.
Oh, the worst. The worst. Come on.
Happy birthday. No. Okay, now I'm going to stop.
This is your birthday song.
Yeah.
It doesn't last too long. Hey!
Too many jokes right there.
No, but happy birthday, Scott. In all seriousness, you look great for your age.
Oh, you had to throw that in? What was that?
Damn.
That's a shot.
Damn.
I'm going to get emails from all my friends on that one.
Compliment. You look great for your age. I mean it. Like, you look good.
Oh, thank you.
And I like you, and this is why I knew I always liked you, because you're a Virgo.
That's right.
And I'm a Taurus. We're earth signs. We're a very compatible friendship.
There we go.
That's like saying, you don't look bad for an ogre.
Nope.
It's like, you know.
I can't wait till we find out your birthday. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. You look great.
You're going to have your wife on the phone for that one.
Oh, my. Moving right along. Let's wrap this up, shall we?
Time.
Okay. You've been listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We're here each and every week at the same time, plus online as an Apple Podcast. You can catch that Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I'm Michael Barr on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
I'm Evan Novi Williams on Twitter at Novi _ Williams.
And I'm Scott Soschnick. You can follow me on Twitter at Soschnick. Thanks for joining us. Please tune in next week when we speak with San Francisco 49ers President Al Guido.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world and online as an Apple Podcast on iTunes.